going to cry. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Gus, and with me, as always, the personality of the split personality, Patricia. Thank you, Patricia, for joining me. It's a lonely week this week. Why? The brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, Ben, your normal hosty-poo, gone. Gone to where? Who knows? But she ain't here this week, so it's just me riding solo. And because of that, I'm not going to betray our gimmick and do a factory without my brother. No. We will resume that next week. Now, this week, I'm doing it a little different. It's the Gus Show, I suppose. So, yeah, I'm just going to wing it this week, all off the cuff. So, just some basic housekeeping. As we announced last week, my brother and I, we went to WrestleMania, where it all began again. That was the slogan for WrestleMania 20. However, this is WrestleMania 35. So we made a trip. Oh, you know what? It's story time. This week, story time. How about that? So we made a trip to New Jersey. Rode out there day early. Got an Airbnb. A little strange. Not that there was anything wrong with where we stayed. It was actually very nice. It was kind of odd because we rented out someone's room. Yes, it was an apartment, and we rented out their room. It was actually this lady's bedroom, I'm pretty sure. Anywho, never encountered this lady. She's very accommodating. Yeah, it just kind of took us both aback, where we're like, well, I didn't know this is what we ordered. But no big thing. So yeah, had a good time doing that. And then we went to WrestleMania the next day, indeed. My brother and I, lifelong wrestling fans, so that was one to cross off the bucket list, going to WrestleMania. Got there a little early. It was kind of funny because we were like, you know what? We'll go to the arena. We'll find a restaurant, get some lunch, go get some beers, get a little tipsy before the event. This place was so strange. It was like you're almost on an island. Like, there was no way to get anywhere other than public transportation. Unless you drove, then you have to drive. Like, you couldn't walk anywhere. You're surrounded by highways and stuff. So we attempted to make towards a restaurant on foot. We didn't make it quite there. There was a tailgate party, a tented event. And this was indeed an event. We walked in and noticed people wearing wristbands. It was like, oh, must have to buy a ticket to get in here. Well, let's go buy a drink at the bar. There's a bar there, and after that, we'll look into getting a ticket here. So we walk up to buy a drink, and they're like, here you go, Miller High Life. I was like, whoa, free beer, champagne of beers. And then I was like, you know what, Ben, fake it till you make it. We're just gonna steal this John. And we went about it. And, yeah, it was certainly a fun little steal. free beer, free food for us. And then we went to WrestleMania. That's where it all started. Was, at MetLife Stadium. And, the game last week was, how many times am I gonna cry? 0, under 3, over 3. I'm very emotional human being. I'm a man. I'm sensitive. I need to be loved. I need to be desired. Ghostbusters 2 reference. So how many times am I going to cry? My brother guessed over 3, faux show. We walk in, ticket scanned, cry number 1. I don't know why. I was so worried about these fucking tickets. I didn't think they were going to scan through. With my luck, they'd scan and be like, oh, these are fake. Or something like that, and I wouldn't be able to go in, but they scanned through, and it was just more of like a relief thing. I've been worrying about it since November. Anyway, make it in, sit down. We have pretty good seats for being in the nosebleeds. They're right where we would have wanted it to be. And yeah, the show started about 5:30, and this sucker went on till 12:40. It was a long, long night. We like wrestling, but that's a lot of wrestling. But it was quite the event. It starts, they do a promo video of the years past, Cry number 2. Pretty nostalgic. A lot of great memories. And wrestling gets me in the feels. So that hit me there. And then the show starts. Wrestler Alexa Bliss, hostess of WrestleMania this year, comes out and is like, if I want to make a WrestleMania moment, all I have to do is snap my fingers. And she snaps. Hulk Hogan comes out, the immortal one. Hulk Hogan. And once you know it, Cry number 3. You know, there's a lot of Hulk Hogan's name being ran through the muck in the years past. But, you know, like I said, I'm a sucker for nostalgia. And he is pro wrestling to some. And definitely a big piece of my youth. So seeing Hulk Hogan in the flesh, man. Oh, that got me. Got me good. Cry number 4. One of the main events of the night. Kofi Kingston versus the new Daniel Bryan. Great story that was being told up to this point, leading into the match. And Daniel Bryan being the villain in all this, and Kofi Kingston being the 11-year veteran, never getting the opportunity for WWE title. So seeing him win and having 82,000+ people going crazy and cheering and just being jubilant. And it was a pretty emotional experience for me indeed. And Ben, I mean, he didn't cry, but he was emotionally invested in that match too. And he said, man, feel real good like. And then Cry number 5, final tier of the night. My actual fiance, Becky Lynch, defeating the queen, Charlotte Flair, and the baddest woman on the planet, Ronda Rousey, to become the dual women's champion, the champ, Becky, 2 belts. I was very proud of my gal. I love her very much, so that brought a little tear to my heart. And yeah, that closed out WrestleMania, the show. Now, the experience afterwards was a nightmare in of itself. How do you go from having this great experience to having the worst? I'll tell you. Transportation. I said we're on a little island. How are we getting back? We Ubered there. Nice and cheap. We look for an Uber after the event when 82,000 people are trying to leave too. No Ubers. Waits for hours. And if you do get an Uber, it's going to be like $100. We're like, fuck that. We were like two or three miles away from where we needed to get to. It was like a 15-minute Uber ride. Just couldn't walk there. One, because of the highways and stuff. It just wouldn't have been safe in general. So, couldn't do Uber. Not enough buses. Taxis aren't happening. It's just so congested there and not enough transportation. So, we're like, oh, we were told to take the train. So, we get in line for a train. No lie. About 20,000 people waiting in line for this train. They only have like one operational because the state of New Jersey underestimated the capacity of the WrestleMania crowd, I'm assuming, and how late the show would run. So they only had so many people working these public transportations. And just to put a little icing on the cake here, it started to fucking rain. And I'm not saying a little drizzle. It was pouring rain, and 20,000 people outside waiting for a train. It was insane. So like I said, the show ended at 12:40. We didn't lay in our bed until a little after 4 in the morning. That long to make it 3 miles. Insane. Would we do it all over again? For sure. I'd like to go next year. It's in Tampa Bay. Maybe we'll make a journey. So that was our WrestleMania story. Sorry if you don't like wrestling, but it's just a tale of two brothers making their way to one of their dreams. Damn it. It's still real to me, damn it. What else on the old housekeeping? Last week I mentioned my thumb got sliced off. I sliced off my fingertip on my thumb. I made it seem like a lot worse than it actually was. Now I say that, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, yep, that's deformed now. It's just like part of it's missing. But it healed up pretty quick, or it's on the process of it. It's not looking as nasty as it did, but it's looking like yeah, my fingertip's missing on my thumb. So that sucks, but you'll have that if you're cooking fancy and you're not paying attention. So pay attention, kids, when you're slicing vegetables with a mandolin. So another exciting thing going on. I am doing probably the nerdiest thing you can think of. I'm going to an anime convention. Yes, indeed. I've never been to any kind of convention before. So I don't know what this is really going to be like. Now, people who know me, this might surprise you. I don't like people. I don't like large crowds of people. I get shy, and that's where people don't believe me because they think I'm like they see me as a character or being very open. I could talk to you and make jokes and blah 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 and be very comfortable around people. It's not true inside. I'm screaming because I'm very shy, and I can easily just kind of curl up in my little ball and just stand in the corner and cross my arms and not say a word. So the fact that I'm going to an anime convention all by my lonesome is a big step for me. Why? Well, let me tell you. Anime, been a love of mine for a long time. Pretty much my whole life. My first favorite movie I can think of was My Neighbor Totoro, anime film, Studio Ghibli, 1988. And but that was pretty much it. Like My Neighbor Totoro, Kiki's Delivery Service, Dragon Ball Z in my youth, and maybe some Sailor Moon here and there. But that's pretty much it. And I held on to the old Dragon Ball Z love even today. In my teenage years, I got into some other ones like Lupin the Third, and yeah, mostly Studio Ghibli, Akira. Nothing too crazy. It wasn't until my mid-20s here, about a year or two ago, after a rough breakup, I fell back into anime. I don't want to say it was the crutch, but it was. I had nothing else to do. I didn't know what to do with myself, and I was in that dark spot, you know. And I got into a show called My Hero Academia. Show saved my life. Episode one, my brother here, well, he's not here. Hi. He, for years almost, was telling me, watch My Hero, watch My Hero, watch My Hero. I'm like, maybe, maybe. I'm busy, busy, busy. I watched one of the shows he recommended, Attack on Titan, which was great. But that was about the extent of it. But he kept telling me about this My Hero Academia show. And just kept putting off, putting off, putting off. And as one of those tales, like right when it was darkest, I popped in My Hero Academia just to have something. And man, it was everything I could have needed. And it's one of those shows that is there to fill you with hope and make you feel stronger and more powerful than you could ever think you could be. And it's entertaining, has good messages, and yeah, it has that anime charm, that Japanese animation charm that only things of from that country, things from those artists and creators can bring to the table. It helped me so much that I even got the slogan from the movie Plus Ultra. Or not the movie, the show. Plus Ultra tattooed on my arm. So anytime I'm feeling down or feeling defeated or feeling less than I am, I have no choice but to look at my arm and it says Plus Ultra. I know I need to go beyond what I think I can be. So, yes, that show kind of kicked off a resurgence in anime for me. My Hero Academia. I watched all of the rest of Attack on Titan. I watched Sword Art Online. I watched Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Yu Yu Hakusho. I'm getting into Seven Deadly Sins, One Punch Man, amongst many others. Gunslinger Girl and Lane and what else? Dragon Ball Z. I rewatched that. Dragon Ball Super. Rewatch all the Loop in the Third movies. Watched all the Studio Ghibli movies. Just like I engrossed my. It was almost like that's all I was doing. Was watching the anime, and I loved it. And so, these next few days here, I'm going to an anime convention. What that entails, I have no fucking clue. But I know I'm going to be around people. Like I said, that's a kind of a big deal for me. But they all have that similar love, that nerdy passion for anime. And everyone has their story, and everyone has their reasoning for being drawn to this art. And I kind of let you in on mine a little bit. But I love the stuff. And so it's going to be cool to go there and just see what it's going to be like. I really have no clue. It's one of those things. I'm just Shia LaBeouf in it. Just doing it. But I'm going a step beyond. I am dressing up too. Hey. I'm going as a character, a cosplay. I've never done that before either. Stepping out of the old comfort zone, all right? I'm going as a character from the movie Akira. I'm going as the character I'm going as the character Kaneda. He is decked out in all red leather. Yummy. Red leather boots, pants, and that sick red leather jacket with the pill on the back. If you haven't seen Akira, you need to. I know Ben and I have talked. We are definitely going to do that for a factory someday. We've mentioned that we both love anime, and we feel it's important in both of our lives. And there is an audience out there. There are people out there who feel the same way. So every once in a blue moon, we are going to do an anime movie on the Brothers Movie Factory. We did Whisper of the Heart for Valentine's Day 2 months ago. And we were worried about that one. We were like, you know what? No one's heard of this movie. It's anime. It's not for everyone. But we're going to do it because we want to do it. We want to spread that love. And it did pretty well. It was one of our better received episodes, and it was one of our most listened to episodes. So that was pretty groovy. We want to do more, maybe once a month. So we are going to do Akira someday. So look forward to that. So yeah, this anime convention I'm going to is it's a big deal for me. I'm a little, to be honest, I'm a little scared. I don't know why. I just get like that. So yeah, this is a window episode. You're getting a look into the old soul of Gus of the Brothers Movie Factory. Whether you know me for reals or whether you know me as a character. So yeah, this is, like I said, this is story time, and this is going to be a shorter episode. You know, I'm not that I'm wrapping up or anything. I'm actually about to step into a little game here. But it's not going to be one of our longer episodes where we watch a movie and talk about it and synopsisize and then do the factory, like, you know, that media episode. This is just sit down, talk, have you listen. Hopefully you enjoy just listening to some asshole jibber jabber. Speaking of jibber jabbering, I'm going to do one of my favorite things to do, and that's listen to myself talk. So I'm going to do a little game here that I just kind of came up with before I recorded. Nothing crazy. I just have a hat with movie genres inside. A whole bunch of them. Basically the ones I can think of off the top of my head. Some subgenre stuff too. I'm just going to pick out a few, one at a time. And whatever genre pops up, I'm going to say what comes to mind. It's all off the cuff. So I'm going to talk either like a memory of that genre, or my favorite movie of that genre, that kind of deal. And this is probably going to be one of those deals where I say something and later I'm like, fuck, I should have said this. But, oh well. So I'm going to reach in my hat here in a second, and we're going to get started with the movie genre game. But before we do, got started off right. And that's the bottom line. I'm going to take a little sippy whip. I'm parched. Just having here cripes, sitting here with old Patricia just staring at me. Patricia being my split personality. If ever I do anything wrong, it's her fault. So, all right, gonna reach in here. It's all random. What is the first movie genre we got here? Let's see here, a little spit of it. Drama. So that's my favorite drama movie. You know, whatever came to mind first was actually Forrest Gump. So I love Forrest Gump. Who doesn't? It's one of those movies that has it all. And for a long time, I considered it my favorite movie in general. This is before I saw my favorite movie of all time, which is Castle in the Sky. But even past that, I would often refer to Forrest Gump as my favorite live-action movie of all time. That has since changed. However, it's still very near and dear to my heart. It is up there. Maybe the best performance I've ever seen from an actor. Tom Hanks playing Forrest Gump. Pardon me, I burped. Yes, indeed, like I said, multifaceted movie. And it can make you feel pretty much everything. Make you laugh, certainly make you cry, and if you don't, you're going to hell. So, that's Forrest Gump. I'm trying to think of other dramas. I don't know why, my mind's a blank. And you see, that's what's going to happen here on the movie genre game. I'm going to just draw a fucking blank and be like, dramas. I was about to say E.T., but would you even consider E.T. a drama? I mean, it has drama aspects, but if you're looking in a movie rental store, which don't exist anymore, and you were looking for E.T., would you go up to the dude and be like, I'm looking for E.T.? Would he say it's in the drama section? I don't think so. If anything, it'd be in sci-fi, probably not, or family. It'd be in every single one. If in my movie store, E.T. would be in every genre, even horror. That was a nightmare of mine in my youth, or even it was beyond my youth. It was my toddler days. We'd watch E.T. as a family, but man, one night I had a nightmare about E.T. and it became a recurring dream. So every night or every other night or once a week, what have you, I would have a nightmare about E.T. I'd be laying in bed. My mother'd be reading me a story. She'd stop. And she'd leave, and she'd go into the kitchen, but she'd never come back. This is the dream. From my room, you could look into our family room. Our family room had this little wardrobe with a mirror that kind of looked into the kitchen. That's where I knew my mother went into. And I just see whoosh, something run by in the kitchen through that mirror, and it was E.T. And he comes running in my room, and if you've ever seen E.T., he does that when you first see him in the cornfield. He's like, in my face, screaming like that. And in my dream, I shoot up. I'm screaming. He's just like, ah, ah, ah. And then he runs away. And I bolt to my mother's room. And I look back in the living room, make sure E.T.'s not following me. And on the wall is a silhouette of a Grim Reaper. Lovely. As I turn to go back to my mother's room, slow-mo. Running slow-mo, reaching for the door. And just as I'm about to grab the door, I wake up. Imagine having that recurring dream when you're like 4, 5, 6 years old. Fuck. I was terrified of E.T. for many, many, many years. And one day, my brother rented a bunch of movies from the old video store. And he rented E.T. as a joke. The shit. And he thought it'd be funny. Renting E.T. because he knew how afraid of him I was. But at this point, I'm in my early teen years, if that. I was like 12, 13, 14 maybe. I don't think I was 14. Anyway, but it was one of those deals like, I need to get over this. It's just a movie. Like, I had that nightmare when I was a baby. So I pop in the movie, and it was kind of weird. I had some nostalgic gushies, as I like to call them, like weird feels. I remember seeing this when I was really little. I haven't seen it since I was wee. And I loved it. But what my real special moment with E.T. was even years after that, watching it at home was just me and my father. I can't remember. My brother and my mother were out and about. So it was me and Da watching E.T. on TV. So we're sitting there watching it. And this is, as far as I can remember, one of the earliest memories of just sitting, watching a movie with my dad. And the weird early teen years. I'm sure if I think back further, I could think of something else. I already have. So what I just said was farce. Anywho. But I do remember sitting watching E.T. with my father. And at the end, oh, I'm going to cry. When E.T. dies and Elliot is talking with E.T. and he's saying goodbye. And he's saying, E.T., I love you. And, you know, he closed the lid. I remember looking over and my dad was crying. And my dad's very, very, very old school, kind of stern dude. You don't see him cry too much. And so seeing him cry there, I was like, oh, it's the first time I've ever seen my dad cry. And it was to E.T. Obviously, E.T. doesn't die. He comes back and there's a great chase scene. And then they get E.T. back to the ship. Spoilers ahead. And then they say goodbye for real. And I cried then when they say goodbye. And those of you who know me, anything with E.T., if I'm watching it now, you know I'm bawling. I bawl like a bitch the whole movie. So, yeah, that's my E.T. story. I don't know if that has anything to do with drama, but there's one genre down. Let's see what else we got in here. Did. Let's see this one here. We got come here, you guy. Musical. What the fuck? Who wrote that? Patricia, you silly goose. Hold on a sec. Usually, when I'm doing these podcasts with my brother, he can talk and I can sip, and no one will ever know the difference. But it's just me here, and Patricia. So. Musicals. My favorite musical movie of all time is Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz is one of those films that also transcends listings for me. I don't know why. I like making lists of shit. What's your favorite this? What's your favorite that? What's the ranking? I know it always changes. My brother calls me all the time. Like, my top 10 is more like a top 50. Because I'm always saying different things. But I don't know why. I like them. I popped myself. Made myself laugh. Wizard of Oz. Transcends lists for me. I can't put it like in my top 10 or top 50 or top 100. It's if I have a number one, it's number zero. You know, it's beyond that. Same with Star Wars. I can't put any of those in a ranking because it's too much. In my heart here, you know, like I can't remember not having Wizard of Oz in my life. I can't remember not having those early Star Wars movies in my life, and to engross myself in movies and that art all my life, I can't put it in like a list. So why Wizard of Oz? I don't know. There's something obviously classic about it, but it's one of those movies that will withstand the tests of time. That movie is over 75 years old. Came out in 1939. Is it 80 years old this year? Woo dogs. So 20 years shy of 100 years old, and they'll still be watching it. People will still be watching that movie in another 100 years. If they ever remade it, it would fail because it would just not have that charm, and would not have that the magic. Movie magic exists, obviously because of making a movie out of all the bullshit that goes on behind the scenes, but there's also the magic of seeing the movie and what it can do for you and what it gives you. And Wizard of Oz has all that, and it's timeless. Timeless. People will be watching that 80 years from now, like I was saying. Those music numbers. Somewhere over the rainbow. If I listen to it just right, it can get me weepy. What doesn't? I don't know. I can think of a musical that doesn't make me weepy. Hold on now. What musical don't I like? Pitch Perfect? I kind of like that movie. there has to be some kind of animated singing movie I don't like. There's all kinds of bullshit ones. Probably one I never saw. I'm not too big on Princess and the Frog. How about that? I know it's an animated Disney musical movie, but not my jams. Pardon me. That's the other thing. When Ben's here talking, I can lean over and burp away, so I apologize. What's a more modern musical that I like? I personally love the 2012 Les Miserables. I know a lot of musical buffs are like, I hate that movie. I hate Russell Crowe in that, and Hugh Jackman's not good, Jean Valjean, and blah, 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 and the real version, the real musical's so much better. I don't know any other version other than that 2012 film, and I adore that movie. I adore that music. Fond memory. We had a cabin. My brother was outside mowing the grass, and that lawnmower's so goddamn loud. He's singing away, thinking no one can hear him, but he was singing Les Miserables tunes, and he was belting them as loud as he could, so that was a treat to the ear. That's musicals. Let's move this along. I spent a little too long on the old drama there. Let's see here. Hey, anime. How about that as a genre? I talked a lot about anime on this one, so I'll just mention a couple movies that if you're a listener and you want to dip your toe in the old anime pool, anything Studio Ghibli, Castle in the Sky, Spirited Away is a popular one, House Moving Castle is a popular one, Ponyo's a great family film, My Neighbor Totoro's a great family film, same with Kiki's Delivery Service. I'll probably end up saying all of them if I'm not too careful. Princess Mononoke, one of the greatest films ever made. If you're asking me, doesn't matter the genre. I think as a story and as a message, and the directing in that movie and the music and everything that goes into making a movie, whether it's a real live-action film or animated, Princess Mononoke, seek it at. Besides Studio Ghibli, look for, and there's a lot of great ones I just personally haven't seen yet, but the ones I have seen, Akira, I mentioned. Paprika, I really love. Lupin the Third Castle, Cagliostro, incredible film. Steam Boy, I love Steam Boy. That's a great film as well. I just recently watched a movie called Metropolis. It's an anime film from the creators of Astro Boy. Astro Boy being old school, this film came out in 2001, Metropolis. Very beautiful to look at, had a lot of deep messages, very similar to that of Blade Runner. So if you're familiar with the film Blade Runner and what that story is portraying, similar to that. It's done in anime style. Beautifully, beautifully done. Anime. Seek it out if you're willing to try something different. What do we got here? Sports films. Space Jam. Space Jam is my favorite sports movie. Does that count? Let's see how many times I can bring up Space Jam. Once someone asked me, because they know I like making lists, they're like, what's your favorite sports biopic? Space Jam. Michael Jordan. True story. True story about how he got sucked in a golf hole and, had to play basketball with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and Bill Murray and had to defeat the Monstars from and just save Looney Tunes from intergalactic beings. But if I'm being real talk, favorite sport movie. That's tough. There's a lot of great ones. I like Field of Dreams. I like, it's been a long time since I've seen Remember the Titans. So I don't know about that. Friday Night Lights. Any Given Sunday's good. Waterboy. Longest Yard. I like them. Happy Gilmore. Golf's not a sport. It's a game. Fuck you. Honestly, though, my favorite sport movie, and I'll say this is a sport movie, is The Sandlot. Okay? Yeah, it could be considered a family film, but and maybe sports is the subgenre. But if I'm honestly, if you tell me sport movie, that's the one that pops in my head. Just the boys playing baseball. Like, what great memories. Oh, I got a cough. Warning. What great memories. And it always, no matter how old you get, you can watch a film like The Sandlot and it'll take you back. It'll take you back to those younger days, whether you reminisce of the younger days of watching The Sandlot or reminisce of the days when you and your buds would play baseball. You like baseball? That's a bad James Earl Jones impression. Sorry. But the charm of Sandlot is the boys playing ball, and they accidentally hit a autographed Babe Ruth ball over the fence, and nothing comes back over the fence. Why? Because the beast is over there. And they have to get the ball back before the beast eats it up, and they got to avoid the beast itself. Great kid adventure film, coming of age kind of movie, and all around the love of baseball. So that would be sport. What else we got here, guy? Yep. Zippity doo da. Zippity day. What the fuck? Animated. Who wrote these? I'm talking all kinds of animation today. I'll be brief on this too, because I've sat too long in the tub of anime. So, but animated. I'll step away from anime. Some of my favorites would be like Toy Story, Lion King. I'm told the Lion King was the first movie I ever saw in a theater. Came out in 1994. However, I have very specific memories of sitting in a theater watching Jurassic Park. Now, I could have made this up, because why would anyone bring, at the time, a two-year-old to Jurassic Park? I don't know. So maybe Lion King was my first movie, because at the time, I would have been like 3.5, because it probably came out in summer, 94. But yeah, I guess that does it for me. Lion King has a near and dear place to my heart. Live-action movies come out this summer. I say poppycock to that, and just watch the animated one. Beauty and the Beast is my favorite Disney movie. Love it to death. Have a deep connection with Beauty and the Beast. Love the story and the music, but I've been in the production of it, and it was also my final show I worked when I was a technical director at a musical theater. That's a monster of a show. And it takes a lot of passionate people to put something like that together. So I have a lot of fond memories of Beauty and the Beast, not only this animated film. But yeah. And Toy Story. Toy Story 2 story. Christ. I remember I was at a birthday. And the birthday party was one of those, let's go to Pizza Hut. And then afterwards, we go to the movie. And Toy Story 2 came out. So it's 1999. And as we're sitting in the theater, I was sitting next to my buddy, whose birthday it was, and he had already seen the movie. So why did he have a birthday party for whatever? Anyway, he had already seen it, and it was starting, and he leaned over, and he said, "I bet Buzz Lightyear dies in the beginning." And I was like, "No, he can't die. It's Buzz Lightyear." A little 8-year-old me is screaming this. And in the opening scene, Buzz Lightyear dies. He gets blown up, and it turns out it's just a video game or something that the other toys are playing. Buzz Lightyear didn't really die, but I remember little 8-year-old me seeing Buzz Lightyear get blown away. I was like, ah! So that is an animated story for yes. Okay, horror. Oh boy, here we are. What are some good horror stories here? Horror is one of my favorite genres, if not my favorite. A good horror movie is something I seek out. A bad horror movie is something I seek out. What are some horror movies that stand out to me? The Shining, excellent. The Exorcist, we've done a movie factory on The Exorcist. Seek her at. Freddy Krueger was the the tormentor of my dreams, The Nightmare of on Elm Street, high up there on the old horror genre level for me. It, okay. It, 1990, the original with Tim Curry. Imagine being 7 years old, and your older brother, who you're trying to impress, is trying to get you to watch It, and you want to watch it. And mother's like, no, 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 it's too scary. And my older brother, who was, I think, like 20, 21 at the time, was like, he can handle it. It's no big deal. It's not that scary. Yeah, to 20, 21-year-old, probably not. But to a 7-year-old, fuck you. And we pop it in, and like I said, I had to be brave. I was trying to impress my brother. That was the scariest fucking movie I'd ever seen, obviously, at that time. Tormented me. Ruined my childhood. I was so afraid to use the toilet. I was afraid of Pennywise the clown. Thought he'd reach out of the sink and grab me. Oh, we can't have a podcast without doing a Jimmy Stewart impression. Yeah. Can't go without. We're talking about that fucking clown. Yeah. So afraid of Pennywise. So afraid of that movie. It didn't watch it for a long time. Long time. I didn't rewatch it until my college days. And it's really funny because I looked up the day it came out. The release date came out the day I was born. The same year, same month, same day. Isn't that kind of weird that that movie came out and that was like my tormentor in my youth? Try bizarre. But I was like, you know what? I'm in college now. I'm like 20, 21. I'm like as old as my brother, older brother was. And my younger brother, I was home from college on break or something. My younger brother had some buds over and they liked to watch horror movies on the weekends. So they wanted to watch It. And we didn't know It was like 4 hours long, but we popped it in. And it's near the end-ish. And there's a scene where this old lady's drinking tea and she's like eating the cup and all kinds of shit. And my brother and I looked at each other. We were the only ones still awake. And you're like, you want to turn this off? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. it was too scary for me still. So yeah, that's a net story there. But for me, horror genre, scariest movie I've personally ever seen, for me, this isn't for everybody, is Insidious. Now, those movies are scary to some, not so scary to others. That movie affected me so deeply, and I won't really tell the story why. It's more of a personal tale. If I ever see in person or if I feel like sharing, that's when I share, because it really did affect me. And truly horrifying. I love those movies too. I think they're really great. At least the first two are ones I love. I really like the third one. And the fourth one, unfortunately, is garbage. I own it, but you know, here we are. So that's horror for you. Let's see. I'll do two more. Romance. I actually like a good romance film. Let's see. Well, we did a podcast on my favorite romance film, Whisper of the Heart. Oh, this is an anime show. Holy petits. Yes, that's my favorite. Another one of my favorites is Your Name. Hey, another anime film. That one's crazy. That one's a romance, body swap, time jump movie. It takes you all over the place and gives you the feels. I've watched that movie 3 times last year, introducing it to new people every time. And wouldn't you know, when I introduce it to those new people, they bawl. They bawl because there's true love in that story. It's good stuff. Her, I tried to rewatch recently. I couldn't do it. It hurt me too much. I wasn't ready for that movie. It made me sad. Her, I do like it. I think it's a great movie. It also has a scene, I won't get into it too much, has a scene, from an artist's point of view, is the truest expression of love I've ever seen in a film. And it's between a man and a voice. Isn't that crazy? Let's see, some of my other favorite romance films. I'm a sucker for Titanic. I am. I'm one of those blokes, and Titanic makes me fall in love every time I watch it. Let's see here. Within the last few years, fell in love with Moulin Rouge. Had old gal introduce that movie to me. It was one of her favorites. And yeah, that'll make you feel. That also goes in the musical genre. Let that slip my mind. I don't know how. But yeah, come what may, I may cry. So Moulin Rouge is a good one that'll make you feel. Yeah. I've never been a Notebook guy. I know that's like synonymous with the romance genre. Never been a Notebook guy. Breakfast at Tiffany's, does that count as a romance? I guess so. I love Breakfast at Tiffany's. That's one of my favorites too. That's definitely top 20. I've said in the past it's in my top 10, but if I'm being realistic, it's probably top 20. Love Breakfast at Tiffany's. Audrey Hepburn, praise be. She's one of my favorites. But yeah, that's romance. How about what do we got here? What's this one? Biography. I already said Space Jam. Favorite bio. All right, this is the last one here. What we got? Hopefully it's a good one. Comedy. Comedy, 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 comedy. Is this funny? Is this a funny show? Am I funny like a clown? Let's see here. Do I amuse you? And I wrote all these genres down, and the one genre I know I forgot to write as I sip my beer was holiday film. How the cock did I forget holiday film? Just because I forgot it. Home Alone. Favorite holiday film. So comedy. Favorite comedy. This has been an ongoing thing in our house with my roommate, my one roommate. Best comedy films of the last 20 years, and we're slowly putting together a list, and we're trying not to make it like opinionated. And that's the thing is comedy is so subjective, just like horror is so subjective. Like what makes a good horror movie? What makes a good comedy movie? Because people laugh at different things. So we're trying to make a more definitive list of like classic comedy movies the last 20 years. So that's side story note, but what I said, this movie genre game is thoughts. Sorry, jeez, am I playing a fucking instrument? So for me, comedy is, I have a weird taste in comedy. I like Kung Pao, Enter the Fist, a movie where a guy took an unreleased martial arts film from the 70s, superimposed his face on the main character and redubbed everything with weird, goofy voices. Amazing. I like Nacho Libre. Not the most popular of films, but yeah, just some of those jokes, some of that humor kills me. This is another not so popular comedy movie that is one of my favorites, is The Pink Panther 2. With Steve Martin. Even the Pink Panther was Steve Martin. The remakes from the 2000s. No one likes those movies. Most people think they're garbage. But me and my brother, hilarious. We quote them every day, and that's probably why we like them so much is yeah, because of the inside jokes. Funny story about Pink Panther. Famous scene from it. Whether you like that movie or not, is the hamburger scene when he's trying to learn how to speak with an American accent. I would like to buy a hamburger. Last summer, we went to Disney, and our last day there, I got tanked drunk at a restaurant. I was drinking just a drink, but then I found out some very sad news. I was like, you know what? I gotta have one for this dog that went the way of Quinn. I got a little tipsy poo, and when we're walking back to our car, I'm screaming at the ether and I'm screaming at people, I guess. I would like to buy Ambalda. I would like to buy Ambalda, the burger. So yeah, that's a tale to be told. But my favorite comedy movie of all time, Dumb and Dumber. Doesn't matter how many times I watch that movie, I will laugh my tits off every time. Those jokes are legendary. The story is so basic, but it's the characters, Harry and Lloyd, Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels, going on that road trip buddy movie, buddy guy adventure. And yeah, Dumb and Dumber, my favorite comedy movie, probably forever. I can't see anything trumping that, and that's, you know, that's just really because nostalgia. I can't go and say that, because, like I said, that the beginning of this tale, Forrest Gump, my favorite movie, and that changed, and then it was my favorite drama movie, and that changed. I guess honestly now my favorite live action movie of all time is Interstellar Space. And I don't think I don't think that will ever change either. I just personally have such a personal connection with Interstellar. One, it was the movie I always wanted to see, and I got to see it. And like, I can't really explain it, because it's more internal. It's more in my heart and my head. It's not something I could put into words. It's just something I always wanted from a story, from characters, and from an adventure. And where that movie takes you, like, that's what I've always wanted to see on the big screen. I got it. But on a personal level, I had a friend. I won't get into this story either, because, like I said, hey, it's personal. I had a friend. We shared that movie together and loved it, and then I lost him. He passed away. And so that movie will always be a part of me. I even have that tattooed on my body as well. So Interstellar Space. How'd I get from comedy to Interstellar Space? Hey, life is funny that way. Isn't that nice, Patricia? Yes, darling. Oh, thank you. So, yes, that about does it. Wraps are all up. Like I said, this is a short... I was just going to say it's a shorter episode. Still fucking hour long. But that's just because I like talking. I can listen to myself talk all goddamn day. And I do talk to myself most of the time. I thought Ben was here, and I thought he was in the bathroom. So, I'm also crazy. So, yes, that wraps her up. We did a little bit of housekeeping, talked about WrestleMania, my thumb, going to an anime convention, that's fun, stepping out of my comfort zone there, and we did a little movie game genre. You got to hear a little bit more about me, had a little bit of story time in that, and yeah, so here we are, wrapping it up. So that'll do it for this week. Brothers. Yeah, that was just sad and lame.